Amen. Well, it is always honoring and humbling to bring the word of the Lord. Let's just pray over this word tonight before we look to it. Heavenly Father, in all things you have called us to pray, and especially as we look into your word, God, there is only one voice that we want to hear tonight, and that is yours. And I just pray tonight, God, that you would just impart a fresh spiritual hunger, a fresh yearning, Lord, within every single one of our hearts tonight, God, that we would yearn after your ways, that we would yearn after your word, oh God. Tonight we ask that you would just cause a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit as we look to your word. Let it be truth. Let it be bread. Let it be living waters tonight, we pray, for your glory and for your will, we ask. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Well, our title tonight is Carrying God's Glory. In the Old Testament, God's glory was revealed to his people as his manifest presence. When God displayed his glory, it was both magnificent and fearful. In Leviticus chapter 9, when Aaron and Moses presented the offerings unto the Lord on behalf of the people, it says that the glory of God came over the people, and the fire of God came out of his mouth and fell upon the burnt offerings. And when the people saw the fire of God, they shouted and they fell to their faces. How many know that we might do the same thing? If we saw the fire of God, there might be some shouting and there might be some falling to our faces. Exodus chapter 40, verse 34, then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, and Moses was not able to enter it. So great was God's glory and his fire that the people could not come near to it. Moses knew this, and yet we see him in Exodus 33, 18, almost desperate for God to show him his glory. He's in a conversation with God in this passage of Scripture. Now that God has delivered his people out of Egypt, he calls Moses to lead his people into Canaan, into the promised land. And Moses begins to earnestly ask the Lord for his felt presence, for his very glory to accompany them on their journey. You see, Moses knew that he could not endure the journey. He could not fulfill his God-given destiny without the very glory of God accompanying his every step. He knew that he would not be able to carry out the promise without the assurance of God's glory never leaving him. Moses knew that as long as he had the glory of God covering him, all around him, within him, that every step on his journey would be sure and steadfast, that he would be able to defeat every enemy that he faced, that there would be strength and power in his life. Exodus 33, if you have your Bibles, you can look there with me in verses 15 to 16. Then he, Moses, said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth." When I read this verse this week, the Holy Spirit highlighted the word separate to me. Moses understood that if God's glory would consume them, that if God's glory would come upon them, that it would be obvious to everyone around them, that they would be separate from the other people, that they would be separated unto the work of the Lord. But I believe there is another inference here with this word. This word separate is used in two different ways in different scriptures in the Bible. The first way is when God separated his priests. He separated David's specific servants so that they would be holy and able to perform their godly duties. But then there are other times when God's servants separated themselves from the unrighteousness that was around them in order for God's glory and anointing to be more evident. Moses understood that in order to find favor and for God's glory to accompany them, they needed to be separate from those who did not walk with God. They needed to separate every aspect of their lives unto the work of the Lord. You see, though we live in the world, we are meant to separate ourselves from the filth of the world so that we can walk carrying his glory, being anointed. The Lord responds in verse 17. He is so pleased with Moses' declaration of living separated unto him. He says, I will also do this thing that you have spoken. I will give you my glory, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. You can sense the desperate longing within Moses as he feels the weight of his destiny. Moses continues with his plea, with his urging, with his yearning, as he says in verse 18, Lord, please show me your glory. You see, there is a mandate upon our lives to be those who are trustworthy, to carry the glory of God. God has a plan tonight for your life, for how he wants to display his glory through you. Let us take up the mandate of this next verse in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 35. It says, then I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before my anointed forever. This verse applies to us, as 1 Peter tells us that we are a chosen generation. We are the royal priesthood of the Lord on this earth. And according to this verse in 1 Samuel, God's plan was set in motion for him to raise up for himself a faithful priest who shall do, who will do, according to what is in his heart and in his mind. And church, we are that royal priesthood today, and this is our call. What is in the very heart of God? What is in his very mind for his people, for his very priests? Our main verse tonight comes from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 2. It says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The AMPC version says, arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Shine, be radiant with the glory of the Lord, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The Message translation says, get out of bed, Jerusalem. God's bright glory has risen for you. The CEV says, Jerusalem, stand up. Your new day is dawning. You see, the Lord yearns for a people who would be awakened, who would get out of their spiritual slumber, who would understand the call that is upon them, for a people who would be set free from darkness, who would be set free from apathy. It is time for God's people to be set free from the apathetic spirit that is seeking to attack them, from the unbelieving spirit that is seeking to hold them back from their God purpose. I will raise up for myself a faithful priesthood who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. This is exciting. It's exciting that God has said, you will do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. The following verses in Isaiah 60, they show us the purpose of carrying his glory. You can look at them on your own, but it says that his glory will be so evident upon us that people will be drawn to us. People will notice the unbelievers, the lowly, the broken. Sons and daughters will come from afar and will see and be drawn to the powerful glory of God. So the question for us tonight is this: do we want to see? Do we want to carry God's glory? Do we want to see the Lord break through the darkness and cause the greatest deliverance that we have ever seen? Is that actually in our hearts tonight? And I pray that we would say yes to this, church. Let us be the priests who are counted trustworthy to carry the glory of God. Let us yearn for this, but let us not take this responsibility lightly. To whom much is given, much is required. But the sacrifice, the separation of our lives unto the holiness of God is worth it. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand, but we must be anointed in the darkness. One commentary urges us in this manner, speaking about Moses in Exodus when he was desperate for God to show him his glory. It says this, the greater the privileges we enjoy, the greater is our danger if we do not improve them and live up to them. In other words, God's glory is a great privilege. It is the highest honor. But there is a danger if we do not walk holy and trustworthy before the Lord. Yes, there is a cost. Yes, you may need to rid your home of some things. You may need to rid your heart of some areas. But the honor and reward of pleasing the Lord and seeing his spiritual breakthrough far outweighs every cost. Can you say amen? How do we become the priests who accomplish what is in the heart and mind of God? How do we be those who carry his glory and anointing? Number one tonight, get hungry and thirsty for spiritual breakthrough. We need to be those who really want the breakthrough. We need to have spiritual eyes to see what it is that God sees, to have his vision, to perceive that the darkness we see around us is of the devil and he is winning in too many people's lives. How will spiritual breakthrough happen when we are a people who get desperate for his glory and to handle his glory properly? There is an aspect of spiritual hunger, of spiritual thirst that the Lord responds to. In Isaiah 44, verse 3, "For I will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring." If you are here tonight and you are spiritually dry, can you perceive the dry ground that needs the Spirit of God to be poured out upon it? He will respond when we get hungry, when we get thirsty for an outpouring of his Spirit upon us and our descendants. Psalm 107, verse 9, and verses 35 to 37. "For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. He turns a wilderness into pools of water and dry lands into water springs. There he makes the hungry dwell, that they may establish a city for a dwelling place and sow fields and plant vineyards, that they may yield a fruitful harvest." This verse is powerful to us. The hungry and longing soul for God's kingdom to advance will be met. He will cause the hungry to dwell in his presence so that we can establish a city that is known for his presence, to sow fields and plant vineyards to reap his harvest. You may be here tonight and the Holy Spirit may be tugging on your heart. You might feel the urging or the sense from the Holy Spirit tonight that it's time for you to get hungry again. Perhaps it's time for you to get thirsty again for specific spiritual breakthrough in your life. And if you don't know where to start tonight to get hungry, to get thirsty, we encourage you to begin to take these verses, begin to cry out and prophesy the very intent of these scriptures into the center of your soul. Get on your knees, cry out in worship, raise up the hands that hang down in the name of Jesus, and examine where your hunger lies, where your thirst lies, and be willing to shift the focus of that for God's glory. Let us follow after the very heart of David in this area. Psalm 63, verses 1 to 2. "Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory." Psalm 42, 1 to 2, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." Tonight, church, let us begin to prophesy, even in this moment where you are. We ask, O Lord, and we prophesy a fresh outpouring of a spiritual hunger and a spiritual thirst into our souls for your glory, God. Number two, develop a holy violence for God's kingdom. God has a plan to accomplish what is in his heart and in his mind. And his kingdom, church, must come first in our passions and in our priorities. The greatest desire of God is for his kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. When Jesus began his ministry, the very first words that he began to say, that he began to preach was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus teaches us regarding the people who will inherit the kingdom of eternal life. Just a couple of those verses in verse 19. Whoever does and teaches the commandments, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Verse 20, for I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. We know that the scribes and the Pharisees, they only cared that they looked religious. They did all of the right things, all of the right ordinances on the outside. But their hearts and their minds did not have holiness and righteousness and a desire to please the Lord within them. They aimed for the praise and applause of men, but we must live to please the Lord. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things, all of your provisions will be added unto you. Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father, he who accomplishes what is in the heart and the minds of God. And our verse that backs up this point tonight where we are to develop a holy violence comes from Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Listen, this violence here is speaking of a violent passion for the kingdom of God. We must develop a holy violence, church, if we are going to be the priests, the men and women who are going to carry the weight of God's glory, who are going to be those who actually see the spiritual breakthrough that the Lord is desiring to do through us. And this holy violence is going to require us to deny self every single day. It is going to require us to get serious about the Word of God, about the ways of God. It is going to require us to not conform to the patterns of the world, but to transform our very thinking, our very thoughts. It is going to require us to be intentional every single day to separate our lives unto the holiness of the Lord for His work. That we would begin to look out for those that we can pray for, that we can build up and encourage and begin to prophetically declare the word of the Lord into situations. If we want to carry the glory and anointing of the Lord, it may require some change. But for sure, it will require violent prayers. It will require violent faith. It will require violent yearnings unto the Lord that he would begin to pour out his glory, that by his mercy he would begin to change the very hearts and minds of men. This truth burns within me as a fire. It burns within me so strongly because I believe that if we would be a people who would begin to cry out to the Spirit of the Lord, that a holy and violent yearning would just be birthed within our souls, that our spiritual language would begin to explode, that your prayers would never be the same. Jesus said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom so that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loose on heaven. It is time, church, for there to be a violent yearning, a violent calling forth in our spirits that we would begin to bind the spiritual powers of darkness that are seeking to attack your home, your workplace, your sons and daughters. It's time for us to loose a spirit of holiness. There is a war for righteousness and purity, and the Spirit of the Lord is saying it is time for us to loose a spirit of holiness, and the glory of the Lord will arise upon us. Let us be a people who are courageous enough and bold enough to ask for those violent yearnings, for the violent prayers. There is spiritual breakthrough that is available to us, but only the violent take the kingdom of God by force. We must bind up and we must loose the will of the Lord. It will come to those who are ready to fight. It will come to those who are ready to get hungry, who are ready to get desperate for it, who are ready to war, who are ready to pursue and be passionate for the breakthrough of the Lord to take place. And his glory will be manifest in a greater measure upon our lives when we seek first the kingdom of God, when we value and treasure the work of the Lord above everything and everyone else in our lives. Let us be holy contenders for his spiritual breakthrough to come. Arise, church, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Number three tonight is resist the devil. Luke 22, verses 31 to 32. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith would not fail. This word sift here is translated to shake. By inward agitation, to try one's faith on the verge of overthrow. We know that Satan is working against us, being able to carry God's glory. Satan asked Jesus for the life of Peter. He wanted to shake Peter's faith. He wanted the very countenance, the very presence of Christ to be dimmed in Peter's life. And Jesus told Peter this. But he said, Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith would not fail. And we know that Peter was not able to resist the devil when the temptation came. And Peter was grieved in his spirit after he had failed in this way. We need to know tonight that Satan is working to shake your faith. He will tempt you with inward agitation. He will attack your attitudes, thoughts. He is doing everything he can to cause our spirits to be complaining, to cause our spirits to be downcast instead of rejoicing, to cause our hands to hang down instead of lifted up in worship and declaring the praises of the Lord. He is working night and day to cause the glory of the Lord to be shaken off of our lives, to not be victorious. When we allow these areas of covetousness, of envy and pride to reside, it hinders God's anointing, it hinders his glory, and Satan wins. It's time to turn the tide of that in our lives. The holy violence within us to do what is in the heart and mind of God requires us to resist the devil. Stop letting him win. Stop letting him win in your life. Jesus has a greater purpose and a greater anointing upon your life, and it's time to come out of the spiritual slumber and into the glory of the Lord. Do not let your heart be divided. Do not let your house be divided. There are spiritual forces at work trying to entice God's people to sin. 1 Peter 5, 8 to 10, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, and may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. We need to be those who are strengthened and settled in our faith. Settle it in your heart that you're going to be steadfast, that you are going to be an overcomer. For greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, it speaks of the temptations of the evil one to sway us to covet the world, to sway us in the lust of the flesh, in the lust of the eyes, and in the pride of life. Resist the devil. Resist the sin. Resist the lust. Resist the pride of life. Resist this covetousness. Fight for the glory of God in your life. Fight for God's glory. When you walk out of this church and you walk into your homes, fight for God's presence to reign in your children's bedrooms, to reign in your living room, to reign in your workplace, to just reign in your hearts and upon your lives. We need to fight for this and choose holiness. Choose spiritual maturity. God wants us to carry his glory, but it requires us to resist the temptations. God's glory resides in his house. We experience it every time we gather. But as soon as we walk out of this place, the devil is on the move, and he is working to shake that glory and anointing off of you. He is working in the house as well, in your worship, in your service, in your conversations with one another. It's time to not be silent in praise and worship. I want to say this with all the grace and mercy of the Lord that is intended, but some of you stand and worship, and you're satisfied to just watch everybody else receive the glory and anointing of the Lord. But the Lord says that it's time for all the house to arise in praise and worship, for all the house to be fervent in passionate praise unto him. The enemy is after your voice, and when you stand silent, he is robbing you of your victory. He is robbing you of your freedom and of your destiny in him. It is time to use your voice in violent prayers and violent worship and thanksgiving unto the Lord. Let us be those who overcome, who resist the devil so God's glory can rest upon us in an even greater measure. And number four, the final thing tonight is guard your anointed holy living. 1 John 2, verse 20, but you have an anointing from the Holy One. In the Amplified Version, it reads, but you have an anointing from the Holy One. You have been set apart, specially gifted and prepared by the Holy Spirit. And all of you know the truth because he teaches us, illuminates our minds, and guards us from error. The Holy Spirit is working within us to guard this precious, costly, beautiful anointing that he has imparted into us. There are over 100 verses in the Old Testament that speak to the importance of the anointing oil. And almost every verse that mentions the anointing oil also mentions the word consecration. We cannot carry God's glory without being consecrated, sanctified, made holy. God's anointing, his glory, requires a separation unto him. And I think one of the most powerful verses, you can argue with me if you'd like, and I'm open to that, but one of the most powerful verses regarding God's anointing, or regarding the consecration on our lives and what the Lord wants to do, is found in Joshua 3, verse 5. In the NIV, it says, Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. The Amplified Version reads, then Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves for his purpose, not for our gain, not for our will or what we want, but for his purpose. For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders, miracles among you. How many want the Lord to do amazing things? How many want the Lord to do actual signs and wonders and miracles among us? You see, church, we can be stirred tonight towards this. We can even make decisions and implement choices into our lives to begin to live holy unto the Lord. But there will come a time where we will need to guard this separation. We will need to guard this holy living and the anointing and the glory of God upon us. Let's have the worship team return at this time. Have we prepared our hearts? Have we prepared our lives, our character for what the Lord wants to do among us? Are we prepared, church, to do according to what is in the heart and mind of God? You see, according to his word, he desires to release salvation. God desires to bring lost people back to him. He desires for spiritual breakthrough. He desires for these miracles in our midst. He desires for a people who are fervent and passionate for him. Are we ready for what the Lord wants to do in this church? For what the Lord wants to do in our families? He will accomplish his will when we arise in holiness and carry his glory. I love the example of Isaiah for us in our lives. In chapter 6, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, it says, the train of God's robe filled the temple. You know, I pray this prayer often, that the train of God's robe, that his very glory would fill his house, would fill our homes, would fill our lives. When Isaiah saw God's glory, though, he didn't remain the same. And this is really what we need to catch here. In order for us to be trustworthy of carrying the glory of God, it's not just about seeing God's glory. It's not just about experiencing God's glory. But it's about allowing a true change to take place for greater spiritual breakthrough, for greater things than we have ever seen in our lives. When he saw God's glory, the seraphim cried to one another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And Isaiah responds to this vision, to being overwhelmed with the glory of God, by saying in verse 5, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I pray that we would choose this kind of repentance, that we would choose to live cleansed and holy before the Lord. When we choose this separation, when we arise in God's glory and anointing, it must be regarded as a holy honor, and it must be kept safe. It must be guarded in our lives. It could be easy to fall into a life of less passion, of less faithfulness, but where will that leave you? Let us yearn and desire for more. There will be people who will want you to set aside God's glory upon your life, who will want you to step outside of God's glory because perhaps they don't have the vision of the Lord that you have. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing miracles and wonders among you. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 9 to 10, he will guard the feet of his saints. Lord, let it be so. But the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength no man shall prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Psalm 26, verse 8, Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. We love the place where his glory dwells. I pray there would be a holy yearning within all of us tonight to see more of God's glory, to receive his word, to carry his glory upon your life. Let us be those who are intentional to be the royal priests who do according to what is in the heart and mind of God. Let us be intentional family of God in the places where he has set us. Let us yearn to carry God's glory in such a measure that it would draw people into his house to experience his healing and freedom. We need a fresh move of the Spirit of holiness. I believe that this is directly related to us seeing what God wants to do in our midst. We need a fresh move of holiness to be imparted. His glory will break through and be manifest when this happens. Our righteousness is a spiritual weapon. Let us fight for holiness upon God's people. Let's stand together tonight. Would you close your eyes and just set yourself in with the Lord tonight? God, we pray that you just would speak to our hearts in this moment. God, we want to receive all that you want to do in our lives. God, we know it's time to get hungry for spiritual breakthrough. It's time to develop a holy violence for your kingdom. It's time to resist the devil and to guard our holy anointed living so we can carry the power of your glory. You know, I really believe this, that some of you are here tonight and the Spirit of God is tugging on your hearts. There is a yearning within some of you tonight. A yearning within you for more of his glory. You are stirred towards this holy violence in your prayers to see God's kingdom advance around you. And I really believe that the Lord wants to say that in the days to come, your groanings in the Spirit are going to grip you in ways you have never experienced. That there is going to come forth a holy birthing in the supernatural in the name of Jesus. I am so thankful tonight that even though we have all fallen short of the glory of God, that God calls us to rise up to shine, for his glory has risen upon us. And though darkness covers the earth, all people will see his glory in the name of Jesus. Let's worship him tonight, church. Let's respond if we need to, wherever you are, if you want to come to the altar and pray. But let us open up our hearts and say, Lord, we want what you want for our lives tonight in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.